Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Geek Bites here, brought to you by the
Geek Bites.
Hey! We are back this week on the Geek Bites. We are sans Michael Vogel, who is out in Tokyo somewhere. So today, holding down the fort, it is me, the outlaw, John Roga, joined as always by my brother Shannon McClung here on the Geek Buddies. Shannon, how are you? How are you feeling? Happy belated birthday, because yesterday was your birthday as we're recording this. How are you feeling? How are you doing, my friend?
I feel older, Johnny. No, the birthday was very good. It was very long. Started in the morning, went until late last night. Ooh. You know, can't recover like one used to be able to. I didn't burn the candle at both ends. I tried to be responsible. Stayed out late, but I was responsible.
I was told there was no festivities, but then I'm sure there were festivities impromptu there with people getting together, having some beers. And I'm sad to miss it because I'm, you know, 2.5 hours away from you, but. I am very happy you celebrated birthday. Very happy you're around it. I hope you had a blast with everybody.
It was a lot of fun. It was seeing different groups of people throughout the day.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. And is that more the hair of the dog, or is that recovery drink that you got in front of you?
That's just coffee. I had the recovery drink before we started recording.
Fair enough. Well, speaking of birthdays, this episode here, Matendo / Life Death Part 1, very much focused, at least the first part, of the episode on Jubilee's birthday, her 18th birthday. And Shannon, this is an interesting episode split into two different parts here. And again, I've never watched the original series, so I don't know if this is something that they did at times in the original animated series, but I kind of liked the format here. Let's start with the first part here. Jubilee celebrating her 18th birthday. Magneto saying, well, if she doesn't figure out how to master her powers and stay alive, she won't have many more birthdays to serve. Kind of a stick in the mud. Morph actually sticking his foot deep into his mouth by making a comment about Magneto not getting a pony when he was 16 years old. Magneto saying his parents were killed when he was a child, which, of course, is a Holocaust reference that they don't dive into. But Mojo makes an appearance here with Spiral. They've captured both Sunspot and Jubilee in this Motendo video game, which, of course, a play on Nintendo. Mojo wants to put this in all the homes in the galaxy for the 18 to 25 or 35 demographic and control them. And we go into multiple video game levels as Jubilee and Sunspot fight Magneto until they fight Magneto, the Sentinels, and other things until they discover someone to help them. And the person helping them is a tester, in essence, a bot that was created here as a simulation of Jubilee, who is now older, and they fight off Mojo head on back there. Sunspot and Jubilee share a kiss. And Jubilee takes the lesson from the whole thing, which is, sometimes you've got to sacrifice birthdays to get into a better position, to get trained. And you can't live in this world of childhood anymore. You've got to grow up at times and embrace being an adult. So what did you think of this episode, man, or this section of the episode? Did you like what happened here? Did you like where we went? And did you enjoy the video game levels as a video game player yourself?
I thought this one was a blast. I mean, like, I've read a little bit of criticism about splitting the episode in two, because it wasn't really a 50-50. It was more like a 65-35, 70-30. Yeah. You probably could have built out the Motendo episode and have some other X-Men involved, like trying to get them out of the game. But I think that maybe would have taken away from it. I mean, it was I thought Jubilee and Sunspot, I thought that was a lot of fun. The character-based humor at the beginning, Logan saying that he agrees with the Blue Rogaine ad referring to Beast. there was just a lot of fun stuff. I mean, even like Rogue with the coffee. Yeah. And Gambit saying, well, if you're taking orders, I'll take an espresso. And Magneto's just no.
Like giving them out.
Yeah, that was just a lot of fun. And Sunspot as well, Roberto, like he's got some great, they have such a great point of view with him that he is this kind of spoiled rich kid who just sort of presumes that everything is going to go his way. When they realize they're sucked into a video game and he wakes up, he's like, did I win? I assume I won. Like just, that was just a lot of fun. And then, you know, a lot of great references to that old, you know, Konami X-Men side-scrolling video game. I thought that was a lot of fun. Loved the 16-bit graphics, hearing like the older music. I thought this one was just really, really well done. And the inclusion of the beta version of Jubilee, who is like the older, the senior statesman, and Jubilee, you know, for, as she talked about how she, you know, she's done all these levels for years. Yeah. You see how she's aged, and you see Jubilee sees what her mutant powers are going to be capable of.
Yeah.
She takes Magneto's advice, but also doing it in her own way. Like, she does have to grow up, but she doesn't have to do it the way Magneto thinks you have to do it.
Right.
So watching older Jubilee just getting to, you know, take out Mojo, I was just like, oh, this is just a blast. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this. Like, and as I was watching the episode, I thought to myself, well, if this is how the original animated series is, and of course it's been updated and changed a little bit as what we see now, but like that makes me even more excited to finally dive in and watch these, because I felt like I was watching this episode like I was reading a comic book episode of the X-Men, and that made me very excited, brought me back to being a kid again, and I really enjoyed this. And yes, someone who's played video games in the multiple stages as they've progressed, even currently now on my PS5, I loved all the 16-bit stuff, loved the Savage Land references, loved Spiral being a part of this as tech support, which I thought was genius. and Mojo, I mean, seeing Mojo in here I thought was great. What a fantastic interpretation of the character. Loved the weight joke initially. Not only were the weight, is her weight down, the ratings are down. And then, of course, Mojo getting bigger, or their weight down, and then Mojo getting bigger near the end and making all those comments and whatever. But Abscissa coming in, that's the name of the older version of Jubilee. I thought that was great, right? How many of us can actually get a chance to meet our older version of ourselves to tell us, hey, listen, I know what you're feeling. I know where you're at. I know that you want to stay young forever. Because Jubilee, before the Motendo things happens, she's pacing back and forth in her bedroom saying, like, I don't want to get involved in all the adult drama. I'm tired of the two Jeans and the Scott Summers and all this stuff with Magneto. Like, I just want to be a kid. I want to be 18. I want to enjoy my life. But the truth is, sometimes in life, you don't get to choose. And you are made to grow up earlier than you want to. And you've got to come to terms with that. And I love that Abscissa has that moment with her later on and says, look, I get it. You want to stay here. You want to stay young. You want to be in this place. A lot of people feel that way. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to adult. They get afraid of adulting because that's when, you know, all the tough stuff and requirements and responsibilities come in. And so seeing that be a part of this, and life is like a video game, right? Every time you think you mastered a level, there's a whole new fucking level you've got to come to terms with and a whole new baddie you've got to defeat on the new level as you grow into the game. So I love that also that Abscissa was teaching her what she's going to be able to do with her powers in the future. I thought that was pretty badass as well. So overall, very enjoyable opening part of this episode, and great message about, you know, you got to, at some point, you've got to grow up a little bit. Doesn't mean, but you can do it your way, as you said, Shannon, that Jubilee figured out by the end.
Yeah, I would say, and I would say our show is a great example of that. I mean, that we, aging is an inevitable part of life, but growing up is a thing that you get to choose how you do it. I mean, when you look at, you know, three fellas like us, you know, we are certainly kind of carving our own path. I mean, I think everyone in our generation, especially like kids of the 80s, have been afforded this extended adolescence that maybe our parents and our grandparents, that wasn't something that they got to do. But we're able to not only continue to enjoy the things that we enjoyed as kids, but we're able to, in some cases, to actually kind of make a living off of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's you know, a super fortunate thing to do. I mean, I also love the thing that Mojo said when he was talking about the TV ratings are in the toilet, and that's why he's pivoting to video games. I mean, and that is very apropos yeah. for what we're, you know, what, where our industry currently is right now. And yeah. the viewing habits of kids are constantly changing but video games continue to just get bigger and bigger and bigger. So Mojo adjusting their tactics to suck them into a video game. I was like, that's brilliant. It's funny. And also, again, very, very topical.
Yeah, agreed. And they still found a way to push the Roberto storyline a little bit farther. Like when they're out in the video game, Jubilee says to him, why aren't you using your powers? And he's like, somebody could have TV or camera on. I don't want to do it. My mother might see. So clearly this is still an issue for him. He does use it against Mojo later on when they're having that big old epic fight with Mojo. So coming to terms with the usage of his powers is still a process and an overarching storyline that's going on with Mojo in the season. But hey, they get the kiss at the end here, Shannon. So that's kind of part of growing up as well, as, you know, feeling that moment where you are attracted to somebody and you see where that goes, considering all the drama she was complaining about. Well, relationships can be drama, especially when you shit where you eat, so to speak, there at work. So it's going to be interesting to see how this storyline progresses with Jubilee and Sunspot. Did you like the fact that they ended with a bit of a kiss, and where is this relationship going?
Yeah, it's a very sweet, you know, youthful romance. And yeah. the second half of the episode that it was paired with is kind of the other side of that coin. Yeah. I mean, you see one going a certain way, one going the other. I thought everything was kind of set up for them to have that kiss at the end. And again, having not watched a lot of the old X-Men episodes, I mean, there it is appropriately soapy.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah.
And I thought they executed this one kind of perfectly. I mean, it was very YA by the end.
Yeah. And let's move on to the other episode, but I want to give love real quick to the voiceover work in the first section here. Holly Chow doing another great job as Jubilee. I thought Gui Agostini as Roberto was great. David Arrigo Jr. as Mojo, fantastic. Allison Corda, Sissa, I really loved what she did. And Abby Trott as Spiral was great in this particular section of the episode. So just wanted to give some love. And Matthew Watterson, of course, as Magneto, loving the back and forth with Gambit. So I just wanted to give some special love to the voiceover work there. Let's move on to the second part here. Life, Death, Part 1. This is Forge and Storm. Essentially, this is, as you said, a out of nowhere kind of love relationship popping up. You know, Forge clearly has been loving Storm for quite some time and professes his love, but also tells her that he was essential in the creation of the machines, just like we know in the comics, for these things that took away her power. And so while she's initially trusting him and having dinner with him and riding on horses with him, and he's got this contraption that he's trying to bring her powers back, and tells her she's a goddess with or without the powers, she's still super upset with him for lying to him. By the end of this episode, takes off in a horse in the middle of the night. There's this crackling and explosion. And this owl, which she had mentioned earlier, going to the left constantly, now shows up, sends her through a roof, is this massive thing, bites Forge, who is being voiced by Gil Birmingham, by my doppelganger in some people's minds, and throws him away and takes over Storm. And we're going to see what happens, of course, in part two next week. But what do you think of this kind of 10-minute section of this episode here and what was explored, Shannon?
You know, I kind of liked it. Again, I've read a little bit of criticism with the pairing of these two particular episodes, that the idea of having sort of your main adventure and then just this, you know, sort of side adventure that's going to be running throughout the season, that the two stories were just too disparate for the episode to fully make sense. Whereas I fully disagree. I mean, I think these are great. These are two great companion pieces, because one is just so optimistic.
Yeah.
It's youth. I mean, it's Jubilee, you know, celebrating a birthday. Yeah. It's a lot of action. It's very bright. It's very colorful. It's very fun. And then you have, you know, Storm dealing with the trauma of losing her abilities, and also making this connection with Forge, you know, Forge being sort of this link, like having that Charles Xavier association, them both dealing with the loss, dealing with the loss of Xavier and the loss of her powers.
Yeah.
And you see Forge's mutant ability to access parts of his brain that normal people couldn't. So he can kind of build anything he can think of, and him, you know, her asking like, why are you so motivated to help me. And he kind of puts it off on the fact that, well, you're a friend of Xavier's. I would do anything for that guy. But you also then find out at the end of the episode, he is tangentially responsible for her losing her powers. Yeah. So I thought it worked really well. I'm glad that you got to the Gil Birmingham thing first, because I was going to say the John Rocha, John Rocha's long lost brother. But I thought Gil Birmingham did some really, really nice work. Yeah. And I think the Storm story, the Storm arc right now is kind of heartbreaking. I mean, you hear her trying to call down the powers of, you know, the weather, and it almost being like a plea at first, like, please work. And when it doesn't, we hear the old Storm sort of, you know, get that confidence back. And then she commands it again, and still nothing. So it was just kind of like, I think also the X-Men animated series is very big on cliffhangers.
Yeah.
And the Jubilee story, that was not a cliffhanger. Whereas the end of the Storm Forge with that owl creature that I can't remember. Was it the Adversary? Is that what they
Adversary.
Call it?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, biting Forge and then stealing Aurora. I mean, I thought the two sides worked really, really well for me personally.
Yeah, I like the two as a balance, because you're appealing to two sides. As you said, we are older, but we still, when we watch these things, kind of regress back to being teenagers and enjoying them for the first time. So in the first section, that's the part of us that gets satiated. In the second section, that's the older part of us that understands that the world is a much more gray world than you think it is when you're younger in your teens. This idea that Forge created this technology that was then used by scientists in Scotland, we'll see how that plays out later on down the road in this season, created this device that is the device that was used against Storm. It wasn't his fault necessarily. And he said, I was in a dark place. So we go, you know, sometimes it's about, well, can you judge someone from their worst moments in their past? Or do you judge someone now from the things they've learned from those worst moments in their past? You know, and so we see Forge trying to essentially make amends. But Storm doesn't want to hear it. Storm is very much caught up in blaming right now, because she's in a dark place herself without her power. So she's not really in a place to be like hearing both sides and looking at things with a bit more circumspect. She's much more caught up in her own pain and anger of her own situation. So she slaps Forge when he says he loves her and storms off. And this, an adversary is the darker parts of Forge, based on what we see in the comics during the Vietnam War. Forge used his shamanic abilities against the soldiers who had slain the men under his command. And that act inadvertently created the adversary, this demon loose upon the world. So once again, one of his creations that he didn't initially think was going to be used for something negative takes on a life of its own, and now has consumed Storm and attacked him. So clearly there's something to play out in this back and forth between the two of them that's going to be interesting to see. And you can deal with this kind of adult material with adult characters versus something like Jubilee and Sunspot. You deal with them in a different way. So I did like it as a companion piece in all of this. And I do want to throw in a little fun Easter egg here with the picture on the wall of Forge there with the rest of his team. We got to see Polaris, Havoc, Strong Guy, Wolfsbane, and Multiple Man was in that picture, for God's sake. So what more do you want to say on this particular section of the show here, Shane?
Again, the things that I had read prior to this were sort of the criticism that Forge saying that he loves Storm kind of comes out of the blue. And I'm like, I think it's a little it's accelerated. Like, I wouldn't disagree there. But I feel like just the moments where we see him sharing his father's recipe, watching them go out on a ride, for what this type of storytelling is, I'm like, no, that works for me, but I do understand the criticism if it doesn't work for someone else.
Yeah, fair point. And I hit a couple more Easter eggs before we wrap up here, Shannon. In the first section that I didn't mention here, we get to see a reference to the Genosha episode with the X-Men. Then we got Domino, Blob, and Sunfire, and these guards look like Boba Fett. So maybe, is this a bit of a, you know, Disney overall under the umbrella kind of reference to make these guards look like Boba Fett? I mean, am I wrong on this?
That was not what I took from it. but if you see Mandalorians in your sleep, God love you.
And also, there's a Dazzler reference here that Mojo makes, right? Dazzler, don't ask. And so the idea that she has another gig, this could further the rumors that Taylor Swift is playing Dazzler in Deadpool 3, which, you know, there's a lot of rumors of that. They showed up together at one of the NFL playoff games, I think, Sean Levy and Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman with Taylor Swift. So there's possibilities. Do you think that was a bit of a one-off to get people excited, or do you think that was a fun little Easter egg to throw in?
I think it was probably an Easter egg, because these were written a while ago. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Taylor Swift is in fact playing Dazzler in a cameo in Deadpool and Wolverine. I don't know if by the time this was written, that deal would have been finished.
Yeah. And one more thing here. Allison Court, the original Jubilee actor, Allison Court, does the voice for the older version of Jubilee. So I thought that was really cool to see her brought back to voice over the original, to voice over the Jubilee, who's gotten older now. And mm-hmm. I thought that was a nice little reference and shout out to the work she did in the original animated series. So that was cool overall. Okay, any final words here? Are we good to go?
Yeah, we're good to go. Still continuing to enjoy this series.
Yeah. As am I very much, especially as someone who didn't watch the original animated series. I am loving these episodes and very much enjoying getting to know these characters. And I don't care about the speed, because in my mind, animated is a completely different construct than theatrical. So, like, you know, the speed with certain things happen doesn't bother as much as it seems to bother other people. I'm just enjoying spending time with these characters for sure. All right, but there's our review here of episode 4 of X-Men 97, Motendo, Life Death Part 1. Thanks so much for joining us for this conversation. Shannon, what do we have to tell them?
Yeah, if you'd like to follow us on social media, on Twitter, it's @geek_buddies. On Instagram, @the_geek_buddies. If you'd like to follow me on social media, on Twitter, it's @Shannon_McClung. On Instagram, @ShannonTheGeekBuddy. If you would like to follow the globetrotting Michael Vogel, it is @MKToon. If you would like to follow the very present John Rocha, it is @TheRochaSays.
Thanks so much, Shannon. Of course, you can always follow us there on our social media and on our Instagram as well for the Geek Buddies. Make sure you go and find us out there. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast, listen to us on wherever you download podcasts, subscribe to the podcast. That is super important. Thousands of you watch us every week. Please subscribe to that. It'll bring more sponsors to the podcast, which allows us to keep going with the show. So please go and subscribe wherever you download podcasts for the Geek Buddies as well. And please subscribe to my channel down below. Hit that subscribe button, hit that bell button, so you see we're dropping all the content we do. And let us know what you thought about the episode here and the separation between these two stories and what Shannon and I had to say. And if there's anything we missed, let us know down in the comments section below. All right, y'all, take care of yourselves. Be well. Look for our main show happening tomorrow. And we'll talk to you next time with another brand new episode here of the Geek Bites, brought to you by the
Geek Buddies! Hey!
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
Save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.